Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
All right, Mr. Blumenthal is here, sir. I'm sorry about the wait. You've been hanging on for quite a while there.
I've been listening, and I always enjoy listening. WICC is great.
Thank you very much. You always say the right thing, Mr. Blumenthal. Thank you so very, very much.
And by the way, the Truman administration, I don't quite remember that, but great to be with you as always in the morning.
All right. Very good. You got it. All right, Senator Blumenthal, you're looking at more rail safety, calling for ways to stop these derailments. What does that plan look like, and why are you calling for this now?
We know there have been crashes. 50 years ago, in fact, there was a fatal crash involving 4 deaths in Darien and 43 injuries. And since then, more than 150 due to trains going too fast or colliding with each other, crashes that could have been prevented by a system known as positive train control. PTC, as it's known, is affordable. The technology is decades old, and yet Metro-North still has not implemented it, nor have most of the railroads around the country. In fact, only 4 out of the 42 actually have it going right now. So I'm demanding that positive train control be implemented by the 2020 deadline established by Congress. That deadline itself was postponed numerous times over my opposition, but because the railroads favored it. What's at stake here is passenger safety, but also freight safety, because a lot of hazardous materials are transported, and some of the crashes that you've heard about, the spills and the environmental damage, is due to trains going too fast or colliding with each other. And we've seen it in Spite and Dibble in the Bronx, at Philadelphia, other crashes recently. And we're only one crash away from more deaths and possible injuries. So I want Metro-North to use the money the federal government has provided it, manage it properly, implement this control. There's no excuse for delay, and I'm demanding action.
Yeah, Senator, I have to be honest. When I read this article, we actually had it in our newscast yesterday, and I kind of scratched my head. I have to be honest. I don't understand what the delay is there. If the funds are there, what is the reason that they're delaying it? Because this seems like a no-brainer to me. I mean, I'm a huge train fan. I'm always on Metro North, but there's always that thought in the back of your head. I hope we're not the next train that goes through this. This technology you're talking about, the PTC, it seems like a no-brainer. So why are they delaying it?
The reasons for delay are, frankly, due, I'll be very blunt, to bad management. Not necessarily the people who are in charge right now, but the people who preceded them, because this goes back to 2015, the original deadline, and essentially the federal government provided the funds for Metro-North. Other railroads complain they don't have the resources, but I think if they have the will, they certainly have the wherewithal, and they ought to invest the money, because we're talking about basic safety. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense to me, but there you go. That definitely gives us some clarity this morning. We're talking to Senator Richard Blumenthal, as we do every Thursday morning. And something else, Senator, we wanted to touch on last week, but I know you got caught up in some things. The Endangered Species Act. We've obviously talked about it a little bit on the air across a lot of our shows on WICC, but weakening it, that could be very devastating, obviously. Any idea why it would even make sense to weaken those rules that are already in place? And what is that going to mean for animals if, in fact, the Trump administration gets its way?
What the Trump administration is proposing to do essentially is a giveaway to the oil and gas and mining interests that want to use land where these endangered species now live. You know, the Endangered Species Act was passed back in 1973 virtually unanimously in the Senate. It was bipartisan. President Richard Nixon, a Republican, signed it, and it makes sense for America because the habitats and ecosystems need to be protected, not only for the sake of those endangered species, but also the entire planet, all of us. So the bald eagle, peregrine falcon, symbols of America, other kinds of endangered species that have been saved, there are success stories here, would be jeopardized if the administration rolls back the protections. And that's exactly what they want to do. They want to roll them back so that species threatened don't need to be protected, and so that some of the climate change factors don't need to be considered, so the polar bear would be endangered, and it's essentially a giveaway to the gas and mining and oil interests that want to use this land for their own special interests.
All right. Senator Blumenthal, we are running out of time, but quickly, CDC is calling vaping and e-cigarettes a possible new epidemic. There's been some cases of lung problems now in 150 people across the country in the hospital, and they're there for breathing problems, all of them after they used vapes. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I have a lot of thoughts. In fact, I've been raising the alarm about vaping. I was involved in the lawsuits against the tobacco companies, cigarette companies that were addicting kids. Now the vaping companies are using the tobacco companies' playbooks. They're using flavors and slick pitches to attract kids. We have an epidemic in our high school. That's the word used by the FDA commissioner, outgoing FDA commissioner. The epidemic is due to those advertising pitches and flavors and other appeals to kids saying it's harmless, but it's not. We know two people just were hospitalized in Connecticut. And one of the problems is, number one, it's addictive. It's a nicotine product. Number two, nobody knows the ingredients that goes into the substance that is inhaled. So you're inhaling stuff from China, stuff from all around the world. Nobody is listing the ingredients. Nobody's testing its health qualities. And it's potentially very dangerous.
Senator Blumenthal, we thank you for taking a few minutes. I know you're a busy man. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Talk to you then. Have a great week.
Now I have heard it all. I have heard it all. Okay? Some residents on Facebook say they plan to boycott Frank Pepe Pizzeria Napolitano over the apparent support of co-owner Gary Biamonte for President Donald Trump. Now, there's a woman who is on Facebook, and on Wednesday, she asked residents to consider joining her in no longer funding his hate by boycotting the restaurant's various locations, and included a picture of the gentleman himself, Biamonte, holding a deplorables for Trump sign and a post that Biamonte shared in August of 2018 that thanked Trump for American steel piping being used in construction jobs. Now, in a thread in a mostly Democratic city that takes pizza very seriously, Steele said that she personally will not purchase goods and services from establishments that are owned by people or companies that promote the worst of Trump's agenda and or extremist Second Amendment views. It's pizza, man. I mean, you know, the guy's just trying to make a living. The guy is just trying to feed his family. I don't know.
And it's,
you know,
what? It's his co-owner?
It's his, wait a minute now, but no. In the apparent support of co-owner Gary Biamonte. He's one of the owners.
Okay, got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing we saw, though, with the former president and CEO of Home Depot. He also was a very strong Trump supporter, and he put a lot of funds, I think it was a few million dollars, he put towards his new campaign this year for re-election. And remember, we saw across the country people were boycotting Home Depot, same thing. And he's not even the president anymore. He resigned a couple of years ago, and retired, I should say. He didn't resign, he retired. And it was the same thing. People did not want to shop at Home Depot because of someone who outwardly put money, even though this man has given to many charities, he also was giving money to Trump's campaign, and they did not support that. You know, I think, Tony, we just live in a world where everybody just is, you know, if they feel strongly about something, they're not going to shop there or eat there. I know I was at Hobby Lobby. I don't know if you ever heard of that store, but I love that store. It's a great little crafts shop, and they've got a lot of stuff that you would see almost on these home creating shows or whatever on HGTV. And somebody, I don't know how, but somebody actually recognized me from working here and actually came up to me and said, I can't believe you would shop somewhere like this, because they support somebody with Hobby Lobby, I don't even know who, supports the abortion debate and, you know, and body rights and all kinds of stuff. And I said, I don't know anything about that. I just know I want to decorate my son's
for my son's birthday party. You know what I mean? Like, I everybody has an opinion. You have an opinion. I have an opinion. Does it mean you and I don't agree on a lot of things? So does that mean I'm not going to work with you anymore? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I think some people take it into their own hands and others just kind of go on about their business. Do I, you know, it's to me, you know, why not go to Frank? If you don't want to go, then don't. But to make other people not go to Frank Pepe's, I mean, I don't know.
To me, it's like this is what it's come down to. I mean, you know, you can't go to your favorite pizza place anymore because
people have opinions. And look, what they're saying, you know, like that photo probably, you know, to many people, that is offensive. So, you know, I understand it. But again, that's your own personal preference.
Exactly.
You know, like that's your person. If you don't want to go, then don't. Like, don't go. That's fine. That's your thing. You know, I look at it, and again, this is on a very, very smaller scale. But do you remember that movie that came out, The Dog's Purpose? A Dog's Purpose.
Yes.
Remember those videos came out that showed behind the scenes there was like a German Shepherd who practically drowned because they were trying to do a scene or something. And, you know, PETA, all of the animal activist groups were livid about this movie because of animal cruelty and how they put it together. I still to this day have not seen that movie because I personally don't support animal cruelty and I don't support that kind of, you know, for them to make that. My whole family has seen that movie. They love the movie. I'm sure many people have seen it and loved it. I just personally don't want to watch it. I'm sure it's a great movie, but I don't want to watch it because I know what was put into it. Do you think I have once sat there and crucified my family for watching that movie? No.
Well, it's like a personal preference. It's a personal preference. It's all a matter of opinion and all of that too. And you want to argue? You know, I don't want anchovies on my pizza. You know, that's fine. But it's starting to get to a point here now where it's like you can't go to this pizza place or you can't go here or mm-hmm. you can't do that. And, yeah. and it's like, you know, come on.
No, I totally agree, Tony. And I think, you know, there's no question we have a president who's controversial. There's no question that he, but I like you brought up actually today in history, you brought it up. You know, I think a lot of times there are also things that go on with past presidents that were controversial as well, but they weren't it doesn't seem like they were blown this far out of proportion as they are with this presidency. I do get that feeling a lot,
well,
you know.
Nowadays we have way too much information. In those days too, the president was kind of insulated. The president, they only let out what they wanted to
sure,
let out, you
sure,
know.
Absolutely.
You know, and if this was anybody else but Donald Trump, there ain't no way that he would be tweeting like this each and every day.
Well, that's just it. I think he shoots himself in the foot sometimes. I think he, you know, unfortunately, the president has done, you know, has tweeted, opened his mouth, maybe said things that are honestly pretty offensive or messed up. He has done that. There's no question. But I do think that this is the first time we're really seeing, at least, like you said, because it's out there, the information is there, and people are able to share information constantly. I think this is the first time, and we're really seeing such a divided world where it's like, hey, you know what? I'm against people who support Donald Trump, so I'm just going to have nothing to do with those people. And now it's like, or vice versa.
And people are angry, man. They are angry.
Oh, you can't talk about politics. I won't talk about it.
Let me ask you this. What's going to happen? Let's just say, I don't know what's going to happen, but let's just say Trump is not reelected. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, you know, whatever. There's another president in there for the next 4 years or whatever. Is the whole world going to go like this? Oh, okay. All right. Everything's cool now. All right. This is, come here. Give me a hug, man. Love you, man. Is that what's going to end up happening?
No, I don't think so. I think this has sparked something because we have seen with President Trump being in office that all of a sudden people who are very outwardly, you know, are very outspoken about their support for Trump and they're getting bashed for it. They're saying, you know what? For 8 years, we didn't like Obama. And we kept quiet. It mm-hmm. wasn't that big of a deal. We kept, you know, whatever. And now the reverse is happening. And, you know, again, Trump and Obama are very, very, very different presidents. But, you know, again, there were many people who did not support Obama, but you didn't really hear about it in the news that much. I think this is so heightened to the point that all we hear about is what Trump said this time. What did our president do this time? Oh, boy, who's rallying now? And it's understandable. But I don't think we're going to turn backwards, Tony. I think no matter who's in office, this is just going to continue on.
You got that right.
It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
And this morning we have Health Director Maritza Bond on with us, as we do every other Thursday. Good morning, Maritza. How you doing?
I am well. How is everyone doing on the air?
Oh, we're doing just fine. Thank you so much. Tony and I have been talking a lot about back to school. We were just saying this morning, I think Darien students go back a week from today. We know a lot of other schools go back even less than that. Some go back Tuesday. It's exciting. It's that time of year.
I know. Summer is drawing to a close, and we're getting the kids ready back to go back to school. And it's pretty hectic in trying to get them all ready and geared up with school supplies and physicals and all of that. So hopefully parents are gearing up and getting ready. The kids are probably not too happy that the summer is ending.
No, the children are not too happy, but the parents.
No, my son is not.
He's not. I remember. I mean, this was the worst time of my life when I was a little kid. I mean, really, we moped around. We wasted the last 2 weeks of vacation moping around. You know,
exactly.
But you know, back to school. Health tips. Do you have any health tips for parents? Because, you know, now we're talking, you know, back to school, they're mingling with other kids, and that's when some of these diseases, if you will, start to get spreading around.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a sensitive time also because we're going to be gearing up for our flu clinics and things like that. And it's important as the kids are gearing up for school that there's safety measures that they take into consideration, and there are kids that, you know, just let's think about transportation. You know, this summer we had a nice break from school buses being on the roads. And so now us that are drivers are going to be going to have to be cognizant of children now being out and either walking to school or riding their bicycles or walking to a bus stop. And so we want to make sure that children are not on their cell phones texting and walking, because we've seen a significant increase in injuries with kids being on their cell phones and not paying attention. We also see injuries increase in regards to accidents or drivers not paying attention that the stop sign is up for the school buses. So we want to encourage not just the children to have safety tips, but also those of us that are heading to work every day and have gotten accustomed to the kids not being out and about so much with the school buses.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing, though, Maritza, that I think ends up happening, like you said, because you're so out of routine, there are things that maybe go without talking about for a few months. For example, I remember as a kid, you didn't really think about it, but those rules like, hey, don't share headbands or hats with the other kids in school because of head lice or things like that. You know what I mean? I feel like sometimes those tips kind of go out the window for summertime because your kids are doing whatever they're doing. But now that they're back in this controlled environment and around so many other kids that you don't know what's going on in their houses, it's important that they're proactive about that.
Exactly. And for several factors. So we're talking about health factors being protected, ensuring that they, that, you know, parents and caregivers are giving them some tips about also back, you know, injury. A lot of injuries increase because the kids are like, you know, fooling around, playing in the playground and are exposed to, you know, higher hazards and injury. I know my son was playing basketball on the first week of school last year and had a head injury, and he hurt himself. He just was, you know, trying to dunk a ball. So it's important that the kids are just mindful of their new environment that they're going to go into, and also to take some safety precautions, because we live in a time and day that, as you know, unfortunately, we have schools across the country that have had other circumstances that had led to fatalities because of the actions of those that try to hurt our children in school settings. And so it's important that we also inform the children about being informed, listening to the principals or the authorities in the school, and then staying alert about their surroundings and reporting any suspicion immediately that they may hear or see. And not take anything lightly, because at this day and age, we need to be able to be protected, and we have to protect ourselves as a community.
We're talking to Maritza Bond, who's the health director right here in Bridgeport. And Tony and I saw this on the air earlier. Tony, you have it written down, I think. What was it about?
I wanted to talk about the measles outbreak. Now, it reached 30 states, I think.
Yeah.
And what's your message to parents? Should the kids get vaccinated? What's your advice?
So absolutely. I think we are very fortunate in Connecticut. I think a few segments ago we talked about the measles outbreak because there were some in New Haven County that were prevalent. We are very fortunate that we have a high immunization rate And so the single best way to do is to ensure that you follow the vaccine schedule for your children, the recommendations for the age groups, and that you continue to vaccinate your children, because that's the most important way to have protection. And so that is my main recommendation. The Center for Disease Control has a vaccine schedule, or you can also get the vaccine schedule from your pediatrician. And so I advise all parents and caregivers that are going out for physicals to ensure that their children are also up to date on the vaccines, particularly the measles vaccine, because we have a unfortunate outbreak going on in our country. And in Connecticut, we've been very fortunate to just have 3 cases.
Yeah, Maritza, absolutely. I don't think that could be said enough, especially we were a couple weeks ago in our newscast. We had that, I think it was Stratford. They're offering free immunizations, free vaccines, some free physicals. And I think sometimes, unless your kid is in a sport or something, a lot of times that'll get bypassed. And,
yes.
And your student will just go to school, no physical on record, no immunizations done. But ultimately, it could be your child that either contracts something, gets other kids sick, or vice versa. If they don't have that immunization, they could get very, very sick.
Exactly. And unfortunate for the our superintendent, we had a great meeting with our qualified health centers, and we are kicking off ensuring that the vaccines are being offered and are available, and that vaccine records are being monitored closely by the school nurses. And so we are very progressive here at the City of Bridgeport with our new superintendent, Michael Tassani. And I also, we wanted to, with the mayor, Mayor Ganim and I, this weekend, we are kicking off the City of Bridgeport a backpack to school event that we're giving out backpacks, but it's not just about that. We actually have local organizations that are going to be providing appointments for physicals and vaccines. We have a dentist that's going to be on site, and other organizations promoting adult education and other services, so that we can make sure that the community are kicking off the fall correctly and safely.
All right. Maritza Bond, we thank you so much for taking a few minutes. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. If people want more information and all of that, is there a website they can go to?
Yes, so www.cityofbridgeport.gov, and Saturday, August 24th at the Government Center, 999 Broad Street from 9 to 12. Come on down. We're going to have healthy snacks and Italian ice and lots of resources for you, and even great raffles.
Sounds good. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Until next time.
I'm reading this morning that scientists, now this is a true story. This is a true article. This is something that they can actually do. Scientists in Germany have created a new blood test that can predict if someone's going to die in the next 10 years. And it's 80% accurate. Now, that means we're on the way to a test that can tell you how much longer you have to live if you want to know. All right, talk about the ultimate spoiler alert. My gosh, there you go. Now, my question, and that's going to be the question of the day. Go to our website, or actually our Facebook page, and answer this, reply to this. Would you take the test, and would you want to know when the Grim Reaper was coming to get you?
Nope.
No.
No, you couldn't pay me. Nope.
No, I mean, no. Believe me, I've got enough anxiety as it is.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't want to know that it's going to happen on June 10th, 2025, or
right?
Whatever it is.
I know. It was funny because Tony and I were talking, as we always do in our morning meetings this morning, and I said to Tony, said, you know, would you do this? I said, absolutely not. And he goes, well, aren't you lucky that you're not me? I'm already, I'm already up there. I'm in my upper 50s. And I said, right, but Tony, if our tests say it differently, if my test says, hey, you're done in 2 years, you still lived twice as long as I have. So actually,
it's true.
No. You know what I mean? No, there's no winning in this one. Maybe it's just the religious side of me, but you know what? Like, when my time is my time, God will take care of it. I don't need to know that kind of stuff. It's like people who can read the future, or who, whatever, they can read minds and all that stuff. No, I don't want to know any more than I already have to know in this day and age. So I'm all set. That's my hard vote, is a no for me.
Absolutely. It's a no for me, too. I mean, the question is, go to our Facebook page and reply, and we'll read those replies at 8:30. Would you take the test? And would you want to know when the Grim Reaper was coming? You know, and I'm kind of a pessimist as it is. You know, it's my father and my two grandfathers, they all passed away before the age of 77. They were all gone by that point. I've got an uncle that didn't make it to 50. I've got two other uncles that just barely made it into their 60s. So this is something that does prey on my mind.
Yeah, already.
You know, already. I mean, the male part of my family, my lineage, they don't last very, very long.
Well, you know, Tony, you're not going anywhere.
So. I hope not.
You're not.
I really can't go anywhere because I have a contract here for the next couple of years anyway.
That's true. And so. Honestly, I would just have a panic attack for a very, very long time. And then nobody wants to deal with me. I mean, I'm already a pain as it is. But then without you here, I'm just in turbo mode. Well, so nobody needs that. So bar anything, God's going to keep you around just so that I stay sane and the rest of the world doesn't implode.
Well, I hope you're right, my friend. I really, really do. But these are the kind of things that I think about.
Yeah,
I don't need this on my head as well. So go to our Facebook page. The question is, would you take this blood test? This blood test can predict with 80% accuracy, can tell you when you're going to die. Would you take that test? Or do you want to know when the Grim Reaper was coming? Or do you want to be a happy idiot and just go through life, tra-la-la-la-la, until the time comes?
Did you just read the sign on my forehead that said happy idiot? Is that how you got the idea?
Yeah, that's how I got that.
Looking at you. There you go.
All right, there you go. We were telling you about a new blood test. That's going on right now. Scientists in Germany created this new blood test that can predict if someone's going to die in the next 10 years. It's 80% accurate, which means we're on the way to a test that can tell you how much longer you have to live. Would you want to know? That's the question of the day. Would you take the test in the first place? And on top of that, would you want to know when the day of reckoning was going to arrive?
No.
All right. Okay. So let's, you know, let's take a look at some of these answers. I mean, the majority, as you wrote here, no, hell no, not for me, no way, no thanks. That's the majority. But for example, a guy named Jay, he wrote in big capital letters, no. But if you said no because you don't want to find out, then you will continue to live your life as you wish. But if you did find out that you did only have 10 years left, you'd be a much better person because you would want to do everything that you could do to help yourself and help others in the last 10 years of your life.
Ooh.
Jay, I would agree with you, Jay.
That's true.
I really would. I would agree. But that would be the only thing now that I would be thinking about for the next 10 years.
I also don't like the fact that I guess if it's within a 10-year, that could be tomorrow, that could be in 10 years. That's such a long timeline. You know what I mean? I still wouldn't want to know. I don't know. It makes my skin crawl, Tony. Can you see? I'm just getting so... I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't want to. Neither does Richard. He said, heck no. Even if it said I wouldn't die in the next 10 years, the stress of not knowing when would kill me. Ha!
Okay.
No pun intended there, Richard.
There you go. Joni said, nah, thank you. I would prefer a test that could prevent the disease and increase life. Okay,
yeah,
Joni, I'll go with you on that.
I would love that if they could find that. That'd be great. Jack said, well, I guess I'll be contrary here. Yes, I would do it. If it came back positive, maybe there would be something I could do to solve the issues and extend my time. Also, it would force me to be sure everything in my life is in order and maybe plan the next few years a bit differently. I will say that may be the only swing factor for me is that if I knew ahead of time that in a few years my time was up or something, I could put into place making sure my son is taken care of, I have the right people. I know that's what a will is for, but just making sure all the players are in place, making sure the finances are in place, maybe picking up four more jobs to make sure my kid goes to college, things like that. I guess that would be the only thing I would do to make sure my husband and son are set.
Okay, so in other words, the things you should be doing anyway.
Well, I'm doing that, but I feel like I have 18 years, for example, to get Chase's funds together. But say, you know, in a morbid way, say my time was cut short. Now, you know, we've been planning this over 18 years versus 6 years or something. You know what I'm saying? So if I knew when that time came, I'd probably, you know, hit, you know, shift into turbo mode or something. I don't know.
Okay. I totally agree with Susan. She says, no, thank you. I have enough stress as it is without having to find out how long I've got left on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos, Susan. You're absolutely right.
Seriously. I don't even know what to make for lunch today, and that's stressing me out.
Yeah, there you go.